Your trees got you stumped? Call in your question. 1-888-767-4348. When you hear the auto attendant, press 1. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.
And you've got a great list of talking points to get to, but we were talking about the Arizona rosewood, your tree shrub of the month, and we've got a gentleman that has called in and wants to know a little bit more about it. Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, sir. Got two questions. One, does the Arizona rosewood require a lot of sun? And number two is, in the county, if somebody's tree grows into the other guy's yard or through his fence, does he have the right to cut it and throw it back into your yard, or is it his responsibility?
Are you asking for a friend?
Well, no, I'm asking for my really nice neighbor who I put a 6-foot cyclone in, the trees go through, so he cuts it, and he wants to throw it back into my thing. I said, no, once you cut it, it's yours.
Yeah, well, let's go to question number one. Question number one, yes, the Arizona rosewood does require sun. In fact, it is a full sun plant, and I'm not sure how well it would do in a low-light setting. With regard to the property line issues with branches coming across from your neighbor's yard, technically you have the right to trim any branches from your neighbor's tree that crosses your property line, but there is a caveat to that. You need to make those pruning cuts or cutting roots. Sometimes roots will grow across the property lines and people will cut the roots, and that's can be problematic. You have to do this with respect to the health of the tree. You can't just arbitrarily or without some consideration for the consequences of those pruning cuts, just start cutting branches at the property line. I've served as an expert witness on a couple of cases with regard to neighbors who cut branches at the property line, and it had a bad effect on the trees. One tree was a bunch of citrus trees were cut on the west side of the trees, so the sun came in and just baked just caused a lot of sun damage. And there was a lawsuit that followed. So you have to just be careful that you don't destroy your neighbor's trees.
There really is something called Arizona tree law.
Yes, there is.
And his question was, his tree is growing into his neighbor's yard, his neighbor's cutting it and throwing the branches into his yard because the tree is growing on his side. Is there anything in the tree law about that, or is that just neighbor manners you got to work out?
Yeah, this is called neighbor management. It is a matter of being very careful. In fact, we have counseled so many people to try to keep them out of court that you do need to try to work with your neighbors and try to be as if they are your branches on your tree and he's throwing them on your side of the fence. It might be a good idea to try to cut those branches at the property line. Now that you know your neighbor's feelings about this, be able to trim those branches on your own before they extend across the property line. But it's a shame because some neighbors don't mind a few branches hanging over. Others want them trimmed right at the property line. I convinced a neighbor the other day not to trim the branches that were hanging over the property line. In fact, I appealed to the neighbor to say, wouldn't you prefer to have some beautiful limbs hanging over your neighbor, over your property line a few feet and deal with some of the litter than to have these branches cut at an arbitrary location right at the property line? Because you'll be looking at these stubbed off branches at the property line, whereas we'll allow those to grow over your property line over the next few years and we'll try to manage them. And if they get too far into your yard, then we'll cut them back appropriately, but not just cutting them at a right at the property line. So this does raise some legal issues, and try to work with your neighbors so that you can cooperate and enjoy those trees together.
Thanks for the call. Hope that helped, Jim. And let's see if we can help. Julie wants to talk about an ash tree. Welcome to the program. Tell us about your tree.
Good morning. Well, I have two ash trees. They were planted in 1994. One is doing beautifully. The second one has always struggled just a little. And most of the bark, I think it was my dog, Most of the bark was torn off, and I thought I was keeping a close eye on it. I thought I had a good enough canopy, but with this brutal summer, and I think I did finally cover it, the trunk, and I've been trying to water it and stuff, and I was wondering if there's anything else. I think it's, if it's not dead already, it's quickly on its way. Should I just give up at this point? Should I, is there anything else I can do?
Well, I've looked at more ash trees in the last 2 weeks than any other tree species, just due to phone calls that we've had coming through our office. You're not alone. The ash trees have been hammered. This is, typical of, it's of the species. Because they're a broad-leafed tree, not native, they are just unable to handle the high heat. You get leaf burn. I wouldn't suggest taking the tree out right away because there's a possibility that the branches and the twigs that are supporting those leaves are still viable and that the leaves have simply burned up. When the leaf can't cool, the leaf surface gets so hot that it can't cool itself properly, the leaves will start to burn. You'll get margin burn where the outside margin of the leaves begins to burn. But in extremely hot temperatures, there's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter if you're deep watering the leaf surface, because the leaves are so thin, they just burn quickly and there's no recovery. The problem is if a tree completely has no leaves left on it that are green, and I've seen a few ash trees that have a parts of the tree are still alive and some of the leaves are still green. The tree loses its photosynthetic capacity. It stops photosynthesizing and creating the energy reserves to stay alive. So there's a tipping point beyond which a tree can't recover. We call it a mortality spiral, where the tree is spiraling down due to various stressors. And once it gets down too deep in that mortality spiral, it's hard to turn it around. But I'll probably wait until early next spring before you make your final decision to take it out, or better yet, maybe call an arborist out who can do an aerial inspection and check the viability of some of those smaller branches higher up in the tree. Because if you do a scratch test with your thumbnail on the branches, starting at the smallest branches and working your way back into the larger diameter wood, you'll find where the green wood still is. Sometimes we've even cut branches back to a hat rack of just larger diameter branches with the hopes that we'll get a regeneration of growth out of those cuts, cutting all the dead branches back. It's a kind of a last-ditch effort to give the tree a chance to survive. But if it has a healthy root system, it might be better to cut a tree all the way back and see if you can get a regeneration as opposed to putting a new tree in that would take 20 years to achieve that same size. It's not ideal, but that might be an option for you. We've done that recently with a couple of trees, and we've seen some good results.
Those ash trees are wimps. There was a couple on our property when we got there, and some still exist, but they are wimps.
I have to agree. I told my customer yesterday, I've taken them off my my list many, many years ago because of the issues they have. And they're, they just are not built for this climate. They're so beautiful. It's a shame because when they're young, in those first 5 to 8 years, you can't find a more beautiful tree in the landscape. But they do develop a lot of problems, and not too many years down the road, 15, 20 years, you start having issues with ash decline and branches dying back indiscriminately. And then, of course, this summer has shown another Achilles heel with the ash trees, is that they just cannot handle this kind of intense heat.
Yeah, I remember overhearing a conversation at an Arizona Community Tree Council event, somebody trying to get it declassified as a legacy tree because the life cycle in Arizona is so short that you can't get more than 20 years out of these.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be on.
If you've got one of those big 25-year-old ash trees, you're very fortunate because they do provide a beautiful deciduous tree in the landscape. But
well, let's talk about some of the things on your talking points. We've got callers on the line, and we will get to them. But I want to make sure we get to all of our tree to-dos checked off the list for
Well, I wanted to just touch a little bit. We talked about some of the preventive things you can do for heat, and I just want to talk a little bit about recovery at this point. You know, what if you do have trees like the ash that are really struggling? And our adage is that as go the roots, so go the shoots. If whatever's happening underground is going to be mirrored above ground, you know, if you're having problems below ground, you'll find corresponding dieback or evidence above ground. And when we see these system-wide symptoms above ground in the tops of your trees, it often points to a problem below ground. And conversely, when we do good things underground, we find the above ground results are amazing. And it's not just a matter of fertilizer, too. There are lots of things we can do to really improve the growing conditions, to improve the soil below the ground, to build the soil profile over the years. We have a very high pH soil here in the valley and throughout the low desert areas throughout Arizona. So we have a real issue with just chemical uptake. We just have our nutrient uptake. We have issues with very low organic matter in the soil. These are all things that are very helpful to root development, root growth. So if you want to try to improve your soil, there's things you can do. We have additives as well, citric acid, humic acid, kelp extracts, wetting agents, beneficial bacteria, which is quite a nice thing to be adding into our soil. Is there's a lot of beneficial bacteria that will actually help to improve the microbiology within the soil. So you're having just a more favorable rooting environment. And there's a very common additive too, which is mycorrhizae. Whether it's helpful or not is debatable in some of our Arizona soils. And actually the sources from which the mycorrhizae is derived. Mycorrhizae is a fungus that has a symbiotic relationship with roots, and they help to absorb more water and nutrients in the soil, and we can add mycorrhizae to the soil, and these can add to the health of the soil profile. But these are, I mentioned all of these things because they're over and above fertilizer. Fertilizer is kind of the first thing you think of in terms of you know, adding something to the soil to help your plant health. But fertilizer is not always just an answer. You know, fertilizers have chemical salts, so they're going to raise your sodium levels. It can be doing things you don't want them to do, as Dave and I were saying earlier about the nitrogen can push growth in the fall, and you don't really want that happening. You want to be having a higher potassium and phosphorus content in the fall for better root development. But these are there are other additives and things we can do to be able to have a healthier soil as a whole.
Yeah, you know, one thing I wanted to add is everybody's inclination is to add more water because it's been so hot. And with added water, you get soil compaction. They don't have a chance to dry out. And the other thing that I've learned recently is depending on the time of year, our water comes from different sources. And in the heat of the summer, a lot of it's coming from canals or recycled water where the salts never get taken out. So the water is saltier in the summertime than it is in the winter. So we're actually compounding the problem in some cases. So anything you can do to bring the pH down, just at this point, you can let things dry out a little bit.
We're talking trees with John Eisenhower and Dave Jernigan. More right after this.